Okay, here we go. Stand by.
3, 2, 1.
The Thinking Atheist. It's not a person. It's a symbol. An idea.
The population of atheists in this country is going through the roof.
Rejecting faith. Pursuing knowledge. Challenging the sacred.
If I tell the truth, it's because I tell the truth. Not because I put my hand on a book and made a wish.
And working together for a more rational world.
Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way.
Assume nothing. Question everything. And start thinking. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, hosted by Seth Andrews.
We get to be Santa Claus today. This community came together to do some good for goodness sake. We raised some money, Christmas gift money, and we're going to be calling some people and donating or gifting that money to help meet some needs in their lives. Good for goodness sake, and hopefully some much needed encouragement during what has been a trying and difficult year. Let's start our gift giving today with what is going to be arguably one of the most important gifts, if not the most important gift to the broadcast. It's a story about a man fearing for his very life. His name is Joel Dauda, lives in Nigeria, essentially being targeted, his life, certainly his safety, targeted by the Islamic State in West Africa, otherwise known as Boko Haram. They're a jihadist terrorist organization, essentially an Islamic gang. So let's get the details. I'm talking here with Courtney Hurd. She is the vice president of the International Association of Atheists. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we're having a conversation about this man. Can you give us the just a quick rundown of the story behind the person and the threat to this person?
Yeah. So Joel grew up pretty close to where Boko Haram has become pretty powerful. And the way it kind of works there is that the group tries to get people to join. And if they don't, they then become a target. So Joel's had a bunch of friends around him that have been asked to join Boko Haram and involve themselves in their activities. And they've turned them down. And sadly, a lot of them have been killed. He's witnessed them. The case manager here has seen some of the pictures, and I can't look myself. His sister is also one of the girls who was kidnapped as part of the Bring Back Our Girls campaign. Her name is Blessing. And he has essentially found out that he's on a kill list, which was divulged to him from a friend who agreed to join Boko Haram and who also feeds him information to keep him safe, because his friend obviously only joined to keep himself safe. So he gets information from this person, and this person told him that he's on some kind of a target kill list, and he's already had his shop. So I guess it was like a convenience store. His shop was burned down, and he desperately feels unsafe, and he has seen his friends around him killed. And what we're trying to do is try and get him out of this area and somewhere safer and raise enough money so that he can possibly start up a shop again and have a livelihood again.
As we start today, we are at $500 of a $2,500 goal. I'm going to throw in a few hundred myself. Can you tell me, Courtney, $2,500 does not seem like enough money to get this guy out of his region, city, country, relocate, new home, new start? I mean, I would be thinking and be looking in the tens of thousands. How does $2,500 solve the problem from your perspective?
Well, the first answer to that is that in Nigeria, money goes a lot farther than it does where we live. It is not much to get him on a bus and out of there. And rent in Nigeria is extremely low compared to what we are used to in North America. So it's likely to be enough to help him for a great deal of time. in order to get back on his feet by Nigerian standards. And in Nigeria, this actually includes rent for a year, because in Nigeria, you have to pay rent in advance for a year. And that's how low the cost of living is there. And we have just some incredible people on staff who have done research on the cost of living there just to make sure that we are giving him enough. So he should have enough for being able to start over and just have a few provisions in a new home and start up a shop potentially.
Sorry for the delay there. I was actually making my donation on the link because, you know, I want to lead by example. And $2,500 will provide a second chance for Joel. His Christmas gift from us essentially will be, potentially, I don't think this is hyperbole, but we may be saving his life.
Oh, for sure.
Approaching $1,000 toward $2,500, I'm going to continue to update everybody during the course of the broadcast. And Courtney, thank you so much for your organization, your time, your activism, your efforts, and for being a part of the rescue of this man. I hope the holidays are wonderful for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll update the totals here in just a second for Joel. Had a message in from Leah. Leah wanted to nominate her daughter. Her daughter is 18 years old and going through some challenges right now that a financial gift from us could help with. And so let's call and see if we can figure this out. Here we go.
Hello, this is Leah.
Hi, Leah. This is Seth Andrews.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm all right. Got your message, and do you have a second to talk to me?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you don't have to share any details you're not comfortable with, but are there any details you can share with us? I want to find out what the specific need is here during the holidays.
So my daughter is 18. She's finishing up her senior year of high school and is about 12 weeks pregnant right now. She's been working, cleaning hospital rooms at a local hospital, even now during COVID. I work in a public service job with a homeless population. And so $500 would be, you know, we would use that towards some of the bigger items like a crib and a car seat for her.
That's got to be a little scary, right? She's in hospital rooms during the era of COVID.
It is absolutely scary. She does have, you know, a doctor's note, so she's not working directly with COVID patients, but that's no guarantee.
And you as well, right? I mean, anybody you meet anywhere, it's just such an odd time of year. We're having to walk on eggshell. Well, some of us are. Some of the socially responsible people are, right? You and I probably share our frustrations about those who seem rather blasé about the pandemic.
Yes, you know, we're also, you know, a high-risk household, even without my daughter's pregnancy. So, yes, we are taking extra precautions. I'm, you know, doing as much as I can over the phone, but it is hard.
So you two need a crib and a car seat.
Yes.
I have no idea how much car seats cost. I don't think they're cheap, though. I know I've heard they're hard to install. You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, the bucket seats are a little cheap, you know, the ones that you can carry the baby around in, but those don't last long, you know, they do have this. I did look at one. We do have a Costco membership, so they have one at Costco. You know, it's like $200, but it goes from infant to booster seat.
So it would last a longer time. I mean, I'm a non-parent, so you got to educate me about this.
So. Yeah. So it goes from, you know, baby all the way up to whatever the weight limit would be for a, you know, for a a kid in a car seat. So it could theoretically last 5 years.
Okay, great. And it's obvious you're going to need a crib, and $500 would cover that, or at least cover most of it for you.
It would cover both of those items. We actually have our eye on a crib at IKEA, which would require a road trip, because there is no IKEA where I live.
IKEA means you will spend the rest of the month assembling the crib. Is that what I'm to understand?
Correct.
I've always heard those jokes about IKEA. So, Leah, let us give you a Christmas present from the Thinking Atheist community. We will give you $500. Can I ask your daughter's first name?
Yes, her first name is Dinesia.
Dinesia, that's beautiful. Leah and Dinesia, Merry Christmas to both of you. And I'm going to make sure that you guys today get a gift of $500. Go get a crib. go get a car seat that'll last you for 5 years. Congratulations on the baby that is on the way, and all my best and good health and hopefully goodness for 2021, okay?
Wow, I appreciate it. You made my day.
Actually, you, the audience, made her day. And thanks so much for your generosity. Quick update on Joel, and our campaign for him has already surpassed the $1,400 mark on our way to $2,500. It's encouraging to see the number climbing. I'll check in on that after we do our next phone call where we get a chance to play Santa Claus. I've got a nomination here from Mike, and Mike was nominating Julie. Julie and her husband have an employer who apparently has insisted on turning his workplace into a giant COVID petri dish. And Julie's family kind of paid the price. So let's get the story on that and see if we can maybe help out, okay?
Hello?
Hey, I'm looking for Julie.
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie. My name is Seth Andrews.
Hi.
Mike sent me. You got a second to talk?
Yeah.
I didn't catch you at a bad time?
Oh, no, you're fine.
Mike sent me a story, and I was kind of hoping that if you didn't mind sharing it, about some challenges that you've had recently, and I, in the community I serve, we've called to help. So, I mean, if you're comfortable talking, can we take a second and kind of flesh out some of the challenges that you guys have had? Would that be all right?
Let me just get into a different spot here. I'm at work right now.
I gotcha. Well, I can always try to buzz you a little later if you'd like.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay.
I mean, I don't want to get you in trouble. Like, are you at work? You know what I'm saying?
I stepped outside.
Okay, and we'll keep your last name out of it, and we'll make sure. I mean, I don't want to get you in trouble with your employer.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
So you just decide what you want to share, but you've been having some trouble, right? What's up?
Yeah, so with COVID going on, my husband and I have been very precautious, and we don't go anywhere. When we go to the stores, we always wear masks. You know, we don't do anything risky to put ourselves in situations to get it. It's just basically work and home and the grocery store. And the owner of our company came down with COVID and was in the office and spread it to about nine people ended up getting it. And I was one of them, and...
If I can jump in real fast, is your boss one of those people that thinks it's all, or thought it was all just bogus and nothing to worry about? I mean, I'm trying to get his mindset.
Yeah, not necessarily, but I think he, you know, put himself in situations that he probably shouldn't have been, and I think basically it was mild enough in the beginning, he didn't take it seriously.
So he comes down with the Rona, and then he comes into the office, and you say 9 people got it?
Yes.
Including you?
Right.
What happened next?
So when I got my positive test result, I had to isolate myself in our basement at home, and my husband had to be upstairs with our 2 young children for 2 weeks. So he was quarantined with the kids upstairs for 2 weeks, and I was in a basement for 2 weeks.
You stayed in the basement for 2 weeks?
Yes.
How did you communicate? Are you Skyping each other or FaceTiming each other within the same house?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow. How bad were the symptoms? I'm just curious. I mean, was it some people are almost asymptomatic or asymptomatic outright, and then other people, I mean, they just hit the wall. How did you do with it?
Yeah, mine was pretty mild for the most part. It was, you know, like the congestion, the cough, headaches, feeling tired. But overall, I think it was pretty mild compared to the possibilities, I guess.
So then come the financial consequences, because you're out of the game.
Yeah, so my husband and I both work for the same employer, and we received no compensation for those 2 weeks while we were out.
So he wasn't sympathetic to the fact that you'd come down with COVID, especially because he was out breathing on people inside your own workspace, and they didn't compensate either of you for time off.
Right.
Can I ask where you live?
We live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, you've got the governor, Kristi Noem, Republican, over there, who is essentially, I'm trying to think if she has outright screamed hoax or don't worry about it, but pretty close. I mean, you can speak to it better than me, but what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing the lack of responsibility that our leadership has taken as far as, you know, even the federal level, I guess. And then our state, I feel, is kind of a joke too, as far as how our leaders are handling it, which is basically turning the other way, like nothing.
Julie, I'm in Oklahoma. Our governor just had a day of prayer and fasting to help COVID patients, which his solution then is essentially chant while hungry. And he thought this was like a worthy response to COVID, as he refuses a mask mandate, as he supports churches getting together. So I feel your pain over here in Oklahoma. Yeah. I really do. So the bills are there. They're not going away. I know that they have to be substantial and significant. You know, you've got a family, you've got a mortgage, you've got utilities, you've got whatever else going on.
Yeah.
It's not going to solve your problem, but would $750 as a gift from me and the Thinking Atheist community, would that give you a significant boost? I want to make sure that, you know, we're not just a drop in the ocean. I want to make sure that we're actually helping. Would $750 work okay for you?
That would be amazing.
Okay. Well, it would be amazing to be able to be a part of your solution, Julie. What's your husband's name?
John.
All right. Well, you tell John that the Thinking Atheist community says Merry Christmas, and I am going to send or wire or whatever to you today a gift of $750. So put that toward whatever it is that you need that you lost while you were out. And even though you can't do it because, you know, you need a job, the rest of us are screaming at your boss, put on a freaking mask and start caring about your employees, because I think we all share your frustration. But I'm glad you got through that gauntlet. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad your family's safe. $750 coming your way, and a very, very Merry Christmas. Okay, Julie?
Oh, thank you so much. That means the world to us, and happy holidays to you as well.
Let's spread some more goodwill, shall we? This nomination came in from Jen. She said that Matt is someone she knows who lives in the Philippines. Matt has a sick dog. So let's see what's up.
Hello.
Hi, I'm looking for Matt.
Yes, hello. This is Matt.
Hi, Matt. My name is Seth Andrews. I had a message in from Jen, and I wanted to know if you had a second to talk to me.
Oh, yep.
She was talking to me about a situation that you had with your dog, and I was hoping to kind of get some details on that with perhaps an opportunity for this community to give you a hand and help you out. Do you have a second to talk about it?
Yes. Yep. That's fine. I have time for that.
What's your dog's name?
Ryuji.
Ryuji. Spell it for me.
Yes. R-Y-U-J-I.
And what's the story on Ryuji? What's the issue?
I think last August, he had problems breathing. He was wheezing during certain parts of the day. And then he had mucus in the eyes. His eyes were cloudier than normal. He has a bit of cataract, but very manageable. But then around August, it seems to have gotten worse. And then he had difficulty actually seeing around that time. When I took him to the vet, they did some tests, and they've concluded that he has about 3 or 4 blood parasites in him. So he had to take medicine, some antibiotics, and some supplements for the liver and the kidney and I think pancreas. I'm not quite sure about the supplements. And after a couple of weeks or about a month, he got better. And it was recommended that I come back to continue the test on his organs if there's any blood parasites left or if there was damage to his organs. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that due to some financial problems.
I know some people in the audience are going to be asking this internally, and I feel an obligation to ask it here, not because we're not going to help, but because I want to do my due diligence. But this is an older dog, is that right?
Yeah, he turned 14 this last October.
Well, as so many of us have been down the road where we see a dog in sort of the winter of its life, and we see breakdown happening, and we see the body starting to, you know, do what the body does near end of life. I want to make sure that we're not simply prolonging suffering at this measure, but we're actually going to help the dog to be rehabilitated, to have a good quality of life. Your assessment is that Ryuji is well enough and healthy enough, even at 14, to have more time, to have a good life. I know you can't see the future, but I want to make sure that we're simply not trying to intervene where perhaps another decision might be appropriate. I'm not sure how else to phrase that, Matt, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, what's your assessment? What do you think?
My assessment would be that he's still very healthy, I think, for his age. Actually, we still play a lot. He's very active. He plays with some of the kids here. My concern was he had a bit of wheezing just a few nights ago, but it's nothing too problematic. I'm just concerned that he doesn't go back to that state he was in August. That's just my concern. But he is very, very well for a 14-year-old dog.
What kind of dog is he, or is he a mix?
He's a Japanese Spitz.
You know, I'm not familiar with the Japanese Spitz. Can I Google that real quick? Hang on just a second. I got to see this.
He looks like a Pomeranian.
Really? Well, I'll bet you've got fur everywhere then.
Yeah, actually, we had a Japanese Spitz before when I was young. I think that one lived to 18 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't remember. But
how adorable is that? Just a big foofball.
Yeah, he is. Actually, he's been through a lot. I got him 2006 around Christmas time, and he's still as sweet as the day we got him.
Well, I'll tell you the reason I want to move forward on this. I want to make sure that I'm doing my due diligence with the funds donated by this community. So that's why I'm asking those hard questions. But, you know, the fact that we're not talking about just simple organ breakdown or the joints are failing or other things are happening due to age, but this was an outside thing. The blood parasites is sort of an external thing that has caused these problems. I think this is something we can and should definitely help with. Roughly, how much do you need to be able to cover the veterinarian visits to be able to get him back and make sure he's on track and get him checked out? I mean, can you give me a ballpark on that?
In pesos, I'm not really sure. I've already spent. Would you want the dollar equivalent of what I've
I mean, you can share as much or as little as you're comfortable with, or we can actually talk, you know, privately if you want. If you're more comfortable doing that. But, I mean, do you need a few hundred U.S. dollars would do it? Do you need more? Well, let's just guesstimate here so I can get you there.
On a dollar estimate, I'd say about 300.
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, 250, 300 maybe.
Okay. Well, let's make that happen, my friend. I will send you, on behalf of the Thinking Atheist community, sort of a Christmas gift for you and Ryuji, and that will be good health as we head toward 2021, with a guarantee that you'll give us that you're going to get the dog to the vet ASAP and get this taken care of. Is that right?
Yeah. So did I hear that right? You're already agreeing to this holiday gift?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm given sort of this
approving
the honor of sort of being a steward of the donations of this community as we come together to try to make people's lives better, especially after what has not been a very good year. Right, Matt? I mean, 2020 can just suck.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had these nominations come in from all over the world, including yours. And, you know, Ryuji's story is a compelling story. So, yes, today you will receive $300. I'm going to get your email address. I'm going to have the funds transferred within, let's call it, the hour. And then you give us the report and hopefully the happy ending for Ryuji. And this is our Christmas gift to you both, okay?
Okay, thanks. And Merry Christmas.
We're now at the $2,000 mark for Joel in Nigeria. Remember, that goal is $2,500. So we've raised $1,500 already. We are almost there. I will check in again in just a few. And we talk about goodness for its own sake, right? Goodness for the sake of the species. I'm reminded of that quote from Madeline Murray O'Hare, the founder of American Atheist. Her famous quote, "An atheist believes that a hospital should be built instead of a church. An atheist believes that a deed must be done instead of a prayer said. An atheist strives for involvement in life and not escape into death. He wants disease conquered, poverty vanquished, war eliminated." I used to lean back on that quote a lot when I first got into atheist activism. Now I look at it, I'm not sure it's correct. I think it's a humanist. I mean, an atheist says, "I don't believe in a God." It doesn't declare that I'm necessarily interested in other people, certainly building hospitals and feeding the hungry and giving medicines to the sick and all those types of things. Atheism is no guarantee of that. And for that reason, even in my own life, when I talk about my own value system, I don't lead with atheist. I don't believe in a God anywhere. I'm not convinced there is a God. That's not a position of values, really. I'd like to think that my atheism informs my humanism, but I think I'd rather be a humanist first. I'm not going to rename the show or anything like that because a lot of people out there are interested in atheism. They are curious about these challenges to gods and religions and superstitions, etc. And quite frankly, a lot of people simply find us by typing atheist into a Google search. So, I mean, this will remain the thinking atheist community. But beyond our non-belief in gods, what are we about? I'd like to think that most of us are about humanism. Good for goodness sake, let's go out and change the world. We know there's no divine intervention expected, no manna from heaven. There's not some cosmic wizard who's got a master plan, who's going to fix everything, you know, who's going to sweep up after we completely screw everything up down here on terra firma. No, if there's going to be an answer, who else but us? I'm also convinced, and it's one of the reasons that I'm so committed to social causes, for equality and trying to alleviate suffering in this world, because I'm genuinely convinced that if there is less suffering, there's less of a tendency for people to look up to the sky and seek supernatural answers, right? They're not in that desperate place where I need life 2.0. I need a heaven, a life after this life where everything's perfect because my life now is miserable. I think if you make lives less miserable, if you alleviate suffering now, then the human tendency to construct their own coping mechanisms, including the stories of gods and heaven, etc., I think those begin to wane. Those start to go away. I think that's a great motivator for us to be humanist. Who else is going to solve the problem if not you and me, right? Okay, next up is an anonymous nomination for someone named Katie. Katie does a lot of work for the homeless and has a situation. Let's find out more about that situation. She included Katie's number here.
Hello?
Hi, I'm looking for Katie.
Yes, that's me.
Hi, Katie, this is not a solicitor. I am host of a podcast online filled with heathens and infidels. It's called The Thinking Atheist, and I had a nomination for you for a specific financial Christmas gift. Do you have a second to talk to me?
Oh my God, is this Seth?
Yeah, this is Seth speaking.
Oh my God.
You're just like me. You hear somebody on the phone who you don't recognize and you assume it's a salesperson and you have that sort of terse, like, who's this? You want a piece? You want to waste my time? You want to go?
Well, it's like, I only have like 3 people who call on a private number and I'm like, okay, this is different.
Well, now you have 4.
I've had my own number call me before.
No, now you got 4 people that called you on your private number. Do you have a second to talk to me?
Well, of course.
All right. The nomination here says that you work with homeless people. And I want to start there. What exactly is the role that you provide there?
Well, I used to be homeless. And ever since I was homeless, like, a lot of my friends will get me in contact with friends of theirs that are homeless. I'll hand sew their coats or whatever because, like, it's very expensive to get a new coat. And sometimes, like, the pockets, I mean, a hole sewn or something. The most common holes I'll end up sewing are usually for their kids. And if I go to a yard sale or something, I try to get, like, I can't afford going and getting them, like, a expensive stuffed animal, but I'll go and get a couple stuffed animals and give one to my dog and then save a couple for their kids, which has been a thing ever since I was homeless. That's primarily how I try to help out.
Sure, you're trying to get some longevity out of what they've got and stretch those dollars as far as you possibly can. What's your dog's name?
Ezra. I think you probably just heard of her.
Ezra, as I understand it, has some health issues. Is that right?
She was sick not too long ago, but she's okay now. I would like to get her actually like groomed because she does have some long fur between her paws, but she's okay now for the most part. We still got to work on getting her confidence back up after eating too much pumpkin skin and getting vitamin A poisoning.
You know, dogs get into that stuff. We had a neighbor down the street made a whole loaf of pumpkin bread that disappeared from the counter. And I don't know, I think that dog was in a good way and then in a bad way for several days. You know, the stuff dogs get into. There was also one other thing that I see here in the nomination. Something about a broken chair. You have a broken chair that you would like to use when you're sort of darning these coats and pants, etc.?
Yeah, it's probably the most uncomfortable thing I've ever sat on. I have a blanket on it right now to try to cover up the duct tape that's on it. It's at my, well, I couldn't afford a craft table, but I found a cheap drafting table, so I used that.
Is it a wooden chair? Is it a plastic chair? What kind of chair would we be looking at?
It's the chair that I have is wooden and it has plastic on it. And it was given to me when I moved into this apartment like 6 years ago.
Okay, Katie. The entire community here, we want to give you a Christmas gift, okay? I don't want to select your chair. You know exactly what it is that you are going to need for your drafting table where you're sewing up all of these garments. So we're going to gift you some money, and you can spend it on the chair if you need to or want to buy resources for the homeless people. You know, if you need needle and thread or you find, I'm sure you're an expert at finding awesome stuff at garage and yard sales. So perhaps this will help. Would $500 be a good Christmas gift to help you get those things?
That would be, holy crap. Sorry, I don't mean to use that language.
Use all the language you want. I mean, sometimes you got to get it out, Katie. It's therapeutic. In fact, they say people who use language are actually more balanced, happier, and healthier people. So, holy shit, you're going to get $500. And that means a brand new chair, a nice comfortable chair, a chair that hopefully will be made with quality and will last you a long time. It'll help you do the work that you do, the important work that you're doing to help homeless people throughout your region. Just know that we are so honored by what you do, and we appreciate the fact that you're helping other people, that you are taking your own experience and sort of feeding that into this mission to better the lives of other people. So $500, we're going to get you a new chair, and then whatever else you need to help do the great work you're doing, the money's coming your way today, and Merry Christmas, okay, Katie?
Well, thank you so much, Seth.
It was funny to hear her tone when she first answered, I do the same thing. You probably do the same thing. We're conditioned. Busy day, busy life. We've got things to get accomplished. The phone rings. It's a number we don't recognize. And hello, we're calling about your Google listing. And then you just become enraged, right? We're calling to talk to you about your vehicle's extended warranty. And of course, these days it's a robocall, so you can't even chew somebody out for interrupting your day and taking up your time. And then we'd say, take me off your list. Don't call anymore. By the way, I got more solicitors after I signed up on the Do Not Call registry, you know, that national registry that's supposed to protect you from solicitors. Oh, yeah, I signed up as soon as it published, and I got more telemarketing calls after that than I ever had before. And these days, it's just robocalls. I remember one guy called. It's back when I was a video producer for another company, and he actually called that office. And he wasn't like a legitimate salesperson who was looking for an opportunity in a field, like a shared field. I mean, this was obviously a guy who was using a list and reading off a script. And I had a whole conversation with him. And he gave the first part of his spiel, and I was pissed off because he interrupted my editing session. And I said, have you ever stopped to take stock and evaluate and analyze what it is you do for a living? You interrupt people during their busy lives to sell them crap that they did not ask for and probably do not need. Your entire career is essentially interrupting people and making them despise you. Have you ever stopped to think about that? And the guy just froze. And then he got pissed. I'm sure the defense mechanisms kicked in, and you know, I think he hung up on me before it was over with, which is kind of what I wanted in the first place. And there are those people who say, well, Seth, you need to be nicer to solicitors. You know, they're doing a hard job. It's a legitimate profession, and you know, have a little empathy for them. No. No. Phone solicitation, telemarketing. I'm sorry, I don't consider it a legitimate profession. You are essentially the parasite. You are the mosquito that I'm trying to keep from landing on me as I rush from point A to point B, right? If I had the bottle, I would spray you with it. If I had the aerosol can full of DEET, I would dispatch you with it, and you're gone. I'm sorry, I do not consider it a legitimate profession. Fortunately for Katie, today's phone call was actually a gift and not a sell. That's our way of saying Merry Christmas, which has been a lot of fun so far on the broadcast. Let's do some more giving, shall we? I mean, that's why we're here. This nomination was sent in by Christina. She wanted to nominate her sister, Lindsay. Lindsay and her husband just got some bad news, and they could benefit from our help. So let's call and let's do that very thing.
Hello.
Hi, Lindsay. It's Seth Andrews.
Hi.
I had a message in from your sister, Christina, and she was telling me a story about you and your husband, Nathan. You both are college students, is that right?
Yes, we're both PhD students at the University of Mississippi.
Can I ask what you're studying?
Yeah, I'm studying health education, and he's studying physics.
And you guys just got hit with a bombshell, as I understand it. Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, I am. 2 weeks ago, my husband had been having some headaches and just some really general fatigue. We thought it might be mono. And he went to the university doctors, and then he was immediately transferred to a hospital. And we got a diagnosis of leukemia that same night, so he went in for headaches, and now we are in a hospital in Memphis for 3 to 4 months without the ability to leave. So it's been a really quick change.
Well, beyond the the challenges personally, your studies have probably been interrupted. I mean, how does that affect the school thing?
Yeah, for him, it interrupts it a lot because he studies acoustics and physics, so they have a very special lab on campus that he works in. So that we're not really sure how that's going to go moving forward, but they're working on a plan. But fortunately for myself, I'm finishing up my degree, so I just need to work on writing my dissertation. So I'm not impeded, but his studies definitely are.
I always like to meet people who are way smarter than myself. Like, I always hope to become smarter by osmosis. You know, I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything, but, you know, I've got a nephew with leukemia, and he's going through chemo, and he's rebounded, and he has a good quality of life. That's my hope for you. You're probably looking at that chemotherapy, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually started chemo the next day from the day we were admitted into the hospital, but the prognosis is good. They're treating it very similar to childhood leukemia because he is young and healthy. We're only 26, 27, so he should be able to rebound, but the process will just take about 2 years before that is a possibility.
So at this point, do you have any specific needs? I know Christina wanted us to do something for you, and that's why I'm calling. But can you kind of tell me where you're at? Is it just medical bills or something else?
Our main concern right now is keeping up with our rent payments since, like I said, we're stuck in this hospital. We actually can't even leave the hall we're on. So we're paying for this apartment that we're not even able to be there for. So mostly what we're looking for is just, yeah, financial support for rent and things like that.
Sure. You're just trying to maintain. You got to get through the holidays and the first of next year. I get that. Well, we're giving out gifts of $500 to try to meet kind of a modest needs model is what we're doing. You know, people who have a specific need. But I'm going to double that for you guys, and we're going to throw $1,000 from the Thinking Atheist community your direction for you and Nathan to help pay the rent. Perhaps it'll help you with basic necessities if you need food or supplies while you're locked in the hospital. I don't know. I'll let you decide and determine where you think that is best used. But it sounds like you could, at least it's something, right? You guys could use $1,000 for Christmas.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's so generous.
Okay.
We both really appreciate that.
It's an honor to be able to do it for you. And I'm so sorry that you've had troubles. I know this is a difficult time, especially for that kind of news to come in. But I want you and Nathan to be encouraged that people care and we're pulling for you. And so I'm going to put you on hold and I'm going to get your information. And I'm going to send you, on behalf of this community, we're all going to send you about $1,000. And hopefully that'll help pay at least some of the rent to get you through the next few months, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Our little Santa Claus sack of goodies still has more to give. So let's take a short break. I'll be right back as we continue doing good for goodness sake. And we'll continue after this. Expand your time as you expand your mind with an app that takes big ideas and boils them down to a format that you can enjoy in a single walk, a commute, a workout, or whatever takes 15 minutes in your life. The app is called Blinkist. Blinkist has taken over 4,000 nonfiction bestsellers and blinked them down to their main points. 27 nonfiction categories to choose from, everything from self-improvement to science to parenting tips to biographies. It's in a format that fits your crazy schedule. Plus, Blinkist is partnered with major podcast creators to blink those down as well. In this uncertain financial world, check out Scott Pape's book called The Barefoot Investor, The Basics of Managing Money, especially now with our bank accounts and the stock market and everything else in play. I also really enjoyed Samuel Woolley's book. It's called The Reality Game, about how computational propaganda is making and fueling fakery in the digital world, and also how social media platforms are part of the problem. It's a hugely relevant book, especially now. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/Seth to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled Blinkist. Blinkist.com/Seth to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/Seth. We are over our $2,500 goal for Joel Dowda for him to escape Nigeria, meaning that this audience, teaming up with the International Association of Atheists, helped to rescue him, and we did it in about a half an hour. And that's got to feel good. So the fundraising link's going to be up. I'll look at a final total by the end of the broadcast, but we're there. We're past there. We did it. You did it. And I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Okay, next up, we have the tragic story of a stolen bicycle. Apparently, this bike is not just for recreation and exercise, but serves a pretty important purpose. The nominee's name is Emily. Let's make that call and see what's up.
Hello?
Hello, I'm looking for Emily.
Yeah.
Hi, Emily, you got me on speaker, or are you at the other side of the house?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
It's Seth Andrews. Do you have a second to talk to me?
Sure.
Let's talk about this. I got this message about your bicycle, and I need to hear the story on this one. What kind of bike was it?
It was a very standard road bike. It was like called a cruiser bike. It was purple and white. It was like uber girly.
Well, whatever. I mean, I'm more interested in usage. Like, this was not just you going out and getting some sunshine and getting the blood flowing, but you were using the bike for more important things?
Yeah, like mostly for errands and going for work and biking around town.
Is it your only major mode of transportation? Do you have a car? Can you get around?
Yeah. It was my only real mode of transportation other than, you know, like public transit.
Yeah. How did you lose the bike?
I decided to, because I've done this before where, you know, sometimes you'll leave your bike at a bike lock overnight or something at the bus station or at the mall or like at a community center or school. And so a couple of days before I was going to move the rest of my stuff, I decided to ride my bike to a bus station closer to where I was going to move to. And then I decided to leave it, lock it up. I locked it up and leave it there for a few days. So I moved my stuff. And then when the day came and I wanted to get my bike back, I looked at that bike lock and was like, huh.
Is it obvious that the bike was stowed correctly and locked up securely or relatively securely and somebody stole it? I mean, it wasn't that you had simply left it somewhere and somebody at the transit authority or whatever just stuck it back in an office or did something like that. It's like, it's not just missing.
I thought of that too, and I went to the lost and found with transit to ask about it. And they didn't have my bike there. They didn't let me go check, but when I described my bike and brand name, they said they didn't have anything matching that description.
Okay. So, I mean, what are we looking at to replace this sucker for you? I haven't bike shopped in a long time. What part of the country are you in? You don't have to be too specific.
I'm in the greater Vancouver area. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, what are we looking at to replace the bike? If this community was to help out, what do you need?
Four?
400 would...
I'm thinking four and five, or yeah, around there.
I mean, is that what a bike costs? Like a good roadworthy...
Well, that's what that bike was. That bike was 350 and then passes and stuff, yeah.
So 350 and then another 50 for accessories.
Yeah, and then taxes on top of that, but yeah.
Taxes? Oh, I'm sorry. Tax on top of the purchase price. Okay. I was thinking like a tag or something. I mean, I don't speak bike, Emily. All right. I do know that often you get what you pay for. And so if we were to go and if we were to sort of cheapskate this one, it might not last as long as it otherwise would last. I want to make sure that you're taken care of. This community then is going to gift you $400. We want you to go out and buy a nice, quality, roadworthy bike to be able to get you to and from work and wherever else you need to go. That's our Christmas gift to you. Would that be all right?
Holy cow, yeah.
Okay. I'll have the funds sent to you today. We'll make sure that you get the money today. What's the conversion rate for Canada? This is the dollar to the Canadian dollar. I don't even know what that is, but I think 400 should cover you for a bike. I can hear the voices of my audience member going, Jesus Christ, $400 can buy a bike. But all right, I'm going to get your information. We're going to get you a bike. The only thing I ask in return is when the bike is purchased, you take a photograph, you share it with me, and then I'll share it with the community and let everybody know how the sort of the fruits of their labor played out. Okay, Emily?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Merry Christmas, my friend.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Like, how much is a good bicycle really cost? I know I should have done some of this before I made the call, but I knew that we'd be in the hundreds of dollars. I mean, I know that much about bikes. I got a friend, she's part of a cycling club, and they're hardcore. You know, they've got the uniforms and the cool helmets, and they go out and do these 150-mile rides, you know, cross-country, across the state, etc. You know, so they're hardcore, and she says they can get, you know what, let's just type into Google here real fast. How would I Google that? 10-speed, do you call it a road bike? Road bike prices. Okay, there's a Schwinn for $569. There's another one for about $349. So yeah, we're in the ballpark. Holy shit. $1,149 for a Savadek carbon road bike. Here's one for $1,379. A Hartz Bio carbon frame. Is it the carbon frame that causes the price tag to go up? Jesus Christ, here's one for almost $1,800. Another one listed below it, $4,359 for the ICAN A2 Tri-Aero Carbon Road Bike. All right, hang on, I got to look at the specs on this. Hey, it's just like a race car, where like everything's custom fitted, just like Tour de France material. A product description, oh my God, they've got everything measured down to the millimeter. The nuts and the sprockets and the yaw and the chain spotter and the what the hell are they talking about? $4,359, and it looks like it's on sale. You know what? I'm thinking $400 doesn't sound like all that much anymore. And it was nice to be able to do that for her. Okay, this next email came in from Jerry. Jerry said, my friend Dylan and his wife have had their asses kicked by COVID. Loss of work hours, family eventually caught the disease. They've recovered, but the bills obviously don't care. Apparently, they come out of the Latter-day Saints. And, of course, my first thought is, if they are apostates from the Mormon Church, it's doubtful that family is going to be reliable. In fact, I certainly hope they have not been shunned. He left a phone number here for Dylan. So let's call Dylan and kind of see what's up and see if we can help.
Hello?
Hey, I'm looking for Dylan.
Oh, yeah, this is Dylan. Who am I speaking with?
This is Seth Andrews.
Oh, Seth Andrews? Oh, hey, how you doing, man?
Like, I don't even know if you even know who that is, but, you know, a lot of people were nominated. But, okay, a lot of people get nominated, and they send me emails and stories, and I call in, and they're like, who the hell is Seth Andrews? And they have every right to say that. Dylan, do you have a couple minutes to talk to me?
Yeah, definitely.
So Jerry says you and your wife both got COVID-19. Is that right?
Yeah, me, my wife, and my son both, or all three of us got it.
Can I ask, what did that look like for you guys? Was it, you know, loss of taste and smell only? Was it worse for you? I know it's different for almost everybody.
Yeah, so it was strange with us. So at first, it just felt like, so I have really bad allergies. Like, I get shots for it. At first, it just felt like a little itch in my lungs, right? And I'm like, oh, it's probably just allergies. And then within 24 hours, I was nearly coughing up blood. And it felt like I was swallowing acid every time I ate or drank anything. And then by like day three, complete loss of taste and smell, coughing, which try to sleep any little bit I could. By like day four, I almost went to the hospital. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make it. Like, it's really bad. And my wife was the same. But my son, he's only four. So, I mean, he had minor symptoms. He was coughing a little bit and he puked a few times. But other than that, I mean, well, he was like totally fine.
Dylan, I mean, I have to say this. The second I see myself coughing up blood, my ass is at the hospital. You decided not to go? Are they overloaded there? All the beds taken up? I know that's an issue here in my home state.
So, yes and no. I mean, to be honest, it was more of a month thing. I started using my inhaler, and that went away. So, I have an inhaler if my asthma, or I mean, sorry, if my allergies get really bad. So, I started using it, and that symptom went away, but...
All right. Well, I'm just putting the pieces together. You know, I'm not trying
for sure.
I'm not trying to minimize what was going on, but I'm like, you know, oh my God, the second I'm coughing up blood, I want professional intervention, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Hey, I was about there. I'm like, let's try the inhaler. If that doesn't work, then I'm going.
Now, due to COVID, this resulted in a loss of income. Can you explain kind of what that was about?
Yeah, so right before we got actually COVID, we both lost our jobs. So my wife was let go due to, you know, cutbacks due to COVID. And I was let go for the same thing because I was in construction. And they're like, yeah, we're pretty much cutting everyone's job. It's not 100% necessary. And I was just a trucker for them, you know. And right after we got cut, 3 days later is when we found out we had COVID. So we had to take the 2 weeks off to quarantine, can't look for a job. And then after COVID, we both contracted COVID pneumonia, which lasted 2 more weeks. So
you say you have a son?
Yeah, 4-year-old little boy. He's fine. I mean, he came out of it better than all of us did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the arguments I've heard is that, well, children are so resilient. Send them off, you know, let them cough on each other. Of course, you and I obviously know better. You know, we know that there are people throughout the age gamut who, I mean, you can speak to this probably better than most of us, right? People need to be taking this seriously.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we barely even left the house. I mean, we wore masks everywhere. I'm obsessive compulsive about washing my hands anyway, and I still got it. And I have no idea where it came from or how I got the germ.
I'm at the grocery store. I walk by and they have the mask required sign on the door when you walk in, but it's not enforceable. Like they put the sign up, but they can't enforce it here, in at least in my part of the state of Oklahoma. And so you see people as a matter of hashtag freedom who've just decided that their personal liberty means they get to breathe on the rest of us. And you just look at them and go, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You wear a seatbelt when you drive. If you're going to dive out of a plane, you're going to wear a parachute. Wear a fucking mask. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that's a T-shirt. I would wear that T-shirt, Dylan. All right. Well, I mean, you sound like you're in good spirits considering you both have been kind of kicked in the teeth financially. And I know this is a really common story. I wish we could speak to even a large minority of these examples, but we have the opportunity to intervene in your case. I'm guessing at this measure, we're talking your needs are bills, groceries, basic necessities. Can you spell out what you need at this measure?
Yeah, essentially, I mean, so we're really behind on power, rent, gas, I mean, all of the necessities. So it's like my landlord's being pretty cool because in Utah currently, they can't evict you if you had anything COVID-related. It's a little law they made here, but he's being cool about it. But I'm wondering if as soon as that law lifts, because we all know about how good Gary Herbert does his job. I don't know if you know anything about him, but Governor Gary Herbert of Utah, he's handled this pandemic awfully. At first, it's, you should wear masks. I'm not going to enforce it, though. And then he decided to buy, I think it was like 100,000 units of hydroxychloroquine to try to distribute to people in the hospital. But because he's a Trump supporter, of course, dumbass, doesn't know anything.
So, I mean, I know you guys are in Mormon country. I was thinking the magic underwear might protect people from the COVID-19.
That's what I said, too. I'm like, aren't your garments going to fucking, I mean, come on. They're supposed to be bulletproof, lead-proof. Come on.
Fireproof.
I mean, they're just magical. They should just whisk the COVID right away, shouldn't it?
This is just an aside, just because we're talking, and I know you come out of a Mormon background, but it's interesting to watch that the number one region for pornography in the United States is where you live, in Mormon country. So what you have is all these really hyper-repressed people who on the outside are trying to be pure, And then when nobody's looking, they're logging on to whatever carnal website will feed their fetishes and desires. It's really kind of tragic.
100%.
When it's not funny, you know?
So. Oh, yeah, 100%. I had this neighbor back in, it was probably like 06, right? He was super homophobic, always talking shit. I mean, would go to the, you know, anti-gay rallies in the neighborhood, and his wife ended up divorcing him because she caught him looking at gay porn.
You know what? How common is that story? We see pastors and they're like, non-heterosexuality is a sin against God and nature. And then 6 weeks later, you find out they were taking nude selfies and sending them to some dude in the congregation. It's a common story. Let's talk real fast, if you're comfortable. I mean, you're not getting a lot of support from family, right? I mean, you're not shunned, or what's their approach to you?
So it's half and half. So my family are atheist liberals, and my wife's family are very conservative Mormons. So they hate us, basically. They think that everything, our lifestyle, not being in the church, is just my fault. They think I'm like holding her emotionally hostage and not letting her be part of the church, but it was her decision to leave, and she made that decision before we met.
So you're the scapegoat, right? It's your fault.
Yeah, because we got together and I'm like, hey, be yourself. It's my fault now.
Yeah, they need somebody to blame, right? I mean, it's a lot easier to say that you're an agent of the deceiver than to say, well, our daughter actually put the puzzle pieces together and figured it out for herself, right? So it's easier to
exactly.
have you. All right, well, not to digress too much, but I'm enjoying the conversation having. We want to help you. The Thinking Atheist community has an opportunity. We've come together. We've got a few resources to help you. Now, I wish that we could do more than we're able to do. You know, these are relatively modest gifts, and I know you're looking at back rent, and you're looking at groceries, and maybe you're still paying on the medical bills. I don't really know what your situation is. But for you guys, if we call it $750, that would help you at least get through and into 2021. It would give you a shot in the arm that would help you, right?
God, yeah, thank you. Holy crap. That's, way more than I thought. So,
well, it's something that I wish we could do more. I wish we could pay all your bills and get you where you need to be and sort of start you fresh. But $750 from the Thinking Atheist community is our gift, our Christmas gift to you and your wife and your son, in the hopes that after a very challenging 2020, that we will see better days ahead. Okay, my friend?
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Seth. You guys are amazing. I've always loved the podcast, so it was so cool to just speak with you.
And if you get a chance, and if your wife's family's ever given you a bunch of crap, you tell them that a bunch of heathens came together and did what the Mormon church did not. All right. It's not why we did it. I didn't do it to make a point, but don't be afraid to make the point, right? Goodness without gods. Hang on just a second for me, Dylan. Let me get some information. We're going to get you some money today. Okay.
Of course. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Before we sign off today, I've just got to tell you that the Thinking Atheist community kept giving after we reached the $2,500 goal for Joel in Nigeria to help rescue him from Boko Haram and to help save his life by helping him to relocate, right? $2,500 was the goal. In less than an hour, we are at $3,465, and his liberation is already underway. So a huge thank you to this community for your goodness. Goodness without gods. All my best. Happy holidays. I'll see you back here next time on the Thinking Atheist podcast.
Follow the Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. For a complete archive of podcasts and videos, products like mugs and t-shirts featuring the Thinking Atheist logo, links to atheist pages and resources, and details on upcoming free thought events and conventions, log on to our website, thethinkingatheist.com.